We'll see you. Amen. As we come to what is known as Resurrection Sunday, we're right to be reminded that it did not come without the pain of the cross. Amen. And for the believer, this is the most important date in history, bar none for us. There can be no greater day for you and for I than this date. The day that Jesus rolled away the stone and conquered death for each and every one of us. Amen. And if you allow me to take us back just a couple of days before this event, we want to go back to Good Friday since we didn't get a chance to spend that time together. The day that the Lord said must happen in spite of the pain and the suffering that he knew that he was going to endure for you and for me. It was his love to us and for us that took him to the cross. A love that for the most part, can only be imitated and never duplicated. We can only get to the point of imitating the love that he has shown us, but we can never duplicate it. A love that only God the Father could show a people who, for the most part, would often fall short of being able to reciprocate it. We see in John 3:16 that he tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." You know, it's interesting that many during this time of Jesus when he was on earth would seek to condemn him, just as many do today. And I've titled this message, "Love So Amazing." So much that it will be the most amazing love that one could find. Never in our lives here on earth will we truly be able to find the love that seeks to fulfill every need without hesitation. You notice I made a point to say our every need, for only God truly knows what we have need of. Amen? Whether it is emotional, physical, or psychological, maybe financial or spiritual, he alone knows what our needs are over our wants. Do you agree? Of course we do. And because he has remained faithful to us, we celebrate this very Resurrection Sunday even without a full fellowship gathering. But all's not lost because our gathering is with him. You know, I heard a news person this week make a statement or a comment that really caused me to scream at the screen. Linda was looking at him. I just screamed at him. "What are you talking about?" He commented to a retired priest regarding the perils of not being able to attend church this Easter Sunday. And he said this, "We gather our strength through others in our fellowships." And when he said that, I thought to myself, why would he say that? And I said, are you kidding me? Now, we can be comforted by being around each other. We can be loved by being around one another. But our strength should come from the one who made it happen. And that's the Lord. I say that because each and every person who calls on the name of Jesus to be his or her Messiah, their Savior, has the gift of strength provided to us. For the same power that raised Jesus on this date from the grave is embedded in each and every one of us who have made Christ the Lord of their lives. Resurrection Sunday has proved that. Because without a crucifixion, there can be no resurrection. And Jesus knew he was going to have to go through the pain that he was going through. But what a glorious day that was for you and for me. Because the disciples didn't truly see it at that time. And we're going to see that in a minute. So let's join together in this worship song called Glorious Day. If you have your Bibles with you, which you probably should have, would you turn with me to the Gospel of John chapter 20. John chapter 20. If you allow me, I would like to give a little summary up to this point. Jesus had died and had given up his spirit. And it states in chapter 19, verse 30, "And now the two men enter the scene, one named Nicodemus and the other named Joseph of Arimathea. One we've heard of before in chapter 3 of this same gospel, and the other we have not until this point." And I bring up these two because they would be two of the most unlikely people that God would use for this event. Nicodemus being a Pharisee and Joseph of Arimathea being a rich man. These two gentlemen take the limp body of Jesus off of the cross and take him to the tomb, to the garden, to prepare his body for it. And in John chapter 19, verse 40, it states, "Then they took the body of Jesus and bound it in strips of linen with the spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid." And in verse 42 of John 19, it says, "There they laid Jesus, because the Jews' preparation day for the tomb was nearby." Now, this is no doubt, as we're going to see in our conclusion of this message, that it was exactly how God had planned for the burial of his son, using some very unlikely people. As a matter of fact, we're going to see in our observation of this text that God is going to use a couple of other people that would be unlikely. And up to now, a lot of emphasis has been placed on the disciples because they were with him for a little over 3 years. And now, after they had observed the past 3 days, they find themselves stuck at home, locked away in fear and wonder about their lives. Can we relate to that in this day? Many of us are in our homes now instead of a place of fellowship. And these guys had already viewed Jesus being put to death, and they are in their homes, scared, locked away. And so we pick up on our text in John chapter 20, and I'm going to have my buddy Mike read along for us out of Arizona. Mike, go ahead.
"Now, the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, 'They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him.' Peter therefore went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, but yet did not go in. And Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own home."
Amen, amen. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate that. I'm going to take this a little bit differently than what we normally see on a Resurrection Sunday message. A lot of times it's focused around that he rolled away the stone or that he is risen. And in fact, that is the gist of it. But I want to kind of point something out that quite possibly would maybe be able to help us. I know it helped me to be able to see it. And so now we're told that the first person who goes to the tomb is Mary Magdalene. All four Gospels point this out, but only Luke really tells of her. In chapter 8, verse 2, it says, "And certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come seven demons." Verse 3, "And Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who provided for him for their substance." Now, the reason why I say that the most unlikely people that would be used for this, Jesus would look beyond their past, and he saw them for who they were as they were healed, just as he does with you and I. And I praise God for that. He sees me who I am, healed. Every one of us, at one point in time, were lame. We were lame without Christ, and he heals us. And now our walk is different. Now, in Luke chapter 24, verse 1, Luke describes this event this way. "Now, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus." And of course, Luke gives us further info in that same chapter in verse 10. It says, "It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles." Now, I love that Luke makes that clear. These women proved to be vital in this event and also to the ministry of Jesus after he had healed them. They provided for him, it says, from their substance. That's what you and I are called to do. We're to provide for the work of the ministry out of our substance. And before we move back to the Gospel of John, I want to point out just a very important phrase that is mentioned here in Luke's version of it in chapter 24. After the women had found the tomb was in fact empty, it says in verse 4 of chapter 24, "And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead?'" Very interesting. Why do you seek the living amongst the dead? And see, it's a very important fact for us who believe that Jesus has in fact risen from the grave, that he's still alive today, isn't he? He's still among us today. And that is the greatness of God. Back to our verses in the Gospel of John. These women would go back after they found the tomb was empty, and they would share with Peter and John and others about what had taken place, but the disciples would not believe them. Peter and John run to the tomb, and when they have this whole scene that's gone on now, the scene of them going in one after another and seeing the cloth folded and left, laid in such a way that it could not have been the work of grave robbers. And now they're confounded. But something unique happen at this time. Verse 8 of John 20 tells us, "Then the other disciple," meaning John, "who came to the tomb first, he went in also, and he saw and believed." And it's interesting that they point that fact out to us. At first glance, it would seem that there he's speaking of the fact that now John comes to the realization and the belief that Jesus is not in the tomb. But because of fact that the next verse is what is known as a parenthetical, meaning in parentheses, some of your versions, if you have the NIV, it's in parentheses, it proves that it's even more than that. Neither Mary Magdalene, nor Peter, nor John, or any of the disciples understood at this point that it was prophesied that their Lord would rise from the dead. Now, of course, Jesus had said it to them, and the Old Testament prophecies that they knew well of had foretold of it, because we see in Psalm 16, verse 10, "For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption." But like many of the things that Jesus had spoken to his disciples, they simply did not remember, or maybe did not comprehend it. Our text says in verse 9, "For as yet they did not know the scriptures that he must rise again from the dead." Remember, they're at their house. They're in fear. They're wondering what is going on. And they didn't comprehend at that time that he was going to rise from the dead, because if they did, they would not have been able to, they would not have been confounded when they got and saw that he wasn't there. But I have a question for us. How many times have I been like the disciples in my walk following him, but never come into the full understanding of him? If you have been like that, like me, don't be in despair if this has happened. The disciples had walked with Jesus, and they talked with him. They ate with him. They prayed with him. And yet, they didn't know this invaluable truth. But in this tomb, John now sees the truth in the cloths lying there, that in fact, Jesus indeed had risen from the dead on his own accord. And that is so huge for you and I today. This supernatural phenomenon was orchestrated by God for a specific reason. It is said of one writer, he says, "The disciples were not predisposed to believe in the resurrection of Jesus. It was not something which Jesus suggested to them, so that when his body was found to be missing, they would jump to the conclusion that he had truly been resurrected. John is telling us that he came to believe in the resurrection of Jesus before he even realized that he was supposed to do so." I think that is so huge for us. John is telling us here that he became a believer in the resurrection of Jesus before it was understood to be a necessary part of the Christian faith. Why do I say that? Paul would write in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. He says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's awesome. John believed that Jesus had risen from the dead by the sheer force of the evidence, not because he thought he was supposed to. And I believe that that is something for you and I today, that we follow Jesus, not because we have to, not because we're supposed to, but because he rose from the dead. What an incredible event this must have been. There in that darkness of that tomb, John saw the light. The light was Jesus. And as you and I walk boldly during these days of what can appear to be darkness, they are in fact part of the light. The light that Jesus would bring to our lives in the form of him being our Savior, if we will just believe and confess he is who he is. Now, we celebrate this day because it happened over 2,000 years ago, just as his word said it did. And because his word said it did, we believe it by faith. Amen? We needn't look any further for the truth, because he is our truth. And he said that his truth has set us free. Now, I want to close with verse 10, if you'll notice it with me. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. They saw this event transpire, and they each went away to their own homes. Today, each and every one of us have been remanded to our own homes, haven't we? Just take a look at the screen. Everybody's in a different place. We're not gathering together as we once did. But I want you to know something. But because of God's provisions, we can all join together in the celebration of this wonderful day. We need not fear of what this world will bring. I don't know about you, but I don't fear anything about this virus, because Jesus conquered the virus of sin that was so deadly to the entire world. And he's there for those today who are without him. He will give them an opportunity to join him. So as we continue to celebrate and to remember Jesus through communion, let's have one more look at this love so amazing. And I want to take our time to be able to do that right now. So if you have your elements handy, we're going to have communion.